of what that political office is like.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And thank you for coming on our show tonight.
This was awesome.
Sister Audrey, can you go ahead and close this out?
This was awesome. Yes, I'd just like to know if she has a website information that we our listeners can better track her progress, if she could share her website.
Absolutely. And also, we have an event coming up with Race Talks on June 13th, because it's both Juneteenth and coming up, as well as June kicks off Pride. Even though in Portland, we do it in Oregon, we're doing it in July. But June actually does kick off Pride. So we have an event called the Third Annual History of Black Drag in Portland. And so folks can go to Race Talks and keep up with Race Talks on Race Talks PDX, RACETALKS PDX.com. And for our BIPOC and QT BIPOC folks, we have free community tickets that people can access on our website for our June 13th event. And then for my election, hopefully when they're listening to this, Tuesday is our 2 days from now is the primary. Hopefully I'll win, so I'll still be a viable candidate in the race, but they can visit shaynaofthepeople.com.
Right. Thank you so much, Sister Shayna. The Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. We have suspended our face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Meet to conduct our monthly meetings. Our next meeting will be held on June the 11th, 2024. So come check us out on June 15th at the Portland Juneteenth celebration.
All right. And thank you once again, Sister Pomerantz. Thank you for your courage to facilitate this serious conversation in Race Talks. If not now, then when? And listeners, our email address is orcbtu10, and that's the number 10, at gmail.com. You can also join us on Facebook, and that address is @orcbtu10. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. Please join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. And with all that being said, holla!
You are tuned to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli, and today we're here with Spoon Jackson and Nicholas Schneider. How y'all doing today?
I'm fine. I'm good. Happy to be here.
I'm doing good as well. Happy to be here as well.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, and let's get right to it. Tell us about yourselves, please.
Yeah, I'm Spoon Jackson, and I've been incarcerated for decades, and I started to study and grow and develop talents, and I wanted to get them out into the world so that they could be appreciated and hopefully detour young folk coming to prison and to share art and realness with folks.
I'm Nicholas Snyder. I am a composer and music producer, and I do all kind of things in the realms of music and art. About 2 years ago, I got in contact with Spoon, and we've been friends and collaborators ever since.
Yeah, tell us more about how you guys got in touch.
Fiori Young is a guy who runs a label that at the time was called Die Jim Crow Records, and they work predominantly with incarcerated people or previously incarcerated people. He posted on the internet looking for music producers that was willing to work in that realm. And my dad had recently been in prison doing a 2-year stint. At the time, you needed like a JPay account and an account with GTL to have a communicative pipeline with anyone on the inside. And I already had all that stuff set up, and I had a whole lot of sympathy toward people in that predicament. And I thought it might be a really beautiful thing to like reach inside and create something with someone. And Fiori introduced me to Spoon. I didn't expect a poet, but I was very pleasantly surprised. And we started to collaborate and have been talking on the phone ever since about January of 2021, I want to say it was. Does that sound right, Spoon?
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what it was like from your end?
It was real because you came in and you were yourself, and you know, you offered to work with my poetry, and you did that from the beginning. Something about the poetry connected with you, and something about you connected with my poetry. And from then on, we was able to ask each other what we need in order to facilitate something in music, in order to facilitate a song. And you would come up with some, ask me if I could come up with some lyrics and stanzas, and I was able to do that. So when I find a niche that is natural with another artist, another human being, I just let go and go full throttle. And that's how I connected with Ani DeFranco and, you know, and Bill Irwin and Michael Mann, who, you know, have been following my career for 20-something years. And so what I look for is a way to get out of prison, sometimes even physically, as far as, you know, the art. When I draw, when I write, when I do poetry, when I'm learning how to sing, believe it or not. And when I do the Native American flute that I was taught by Mary Youngblood, the Grammy Award winner. So when I meet somebody that naturally connects with me, I just naturally connect and we create. And that's where the magic and realness come from, naturally connecting with people who don't put up fences. It's sort of like what John Lennon said, imagine all the people, you know, living as one. There's no borders or no religion, no any of that stuff that separates people like they did with who that idiot was that created something called race, that there are different races on this planet of people, which is absurd. So yeah, if I get a connection, I usually try to collaborate with the person if they are real and walking in their own shoes, and it just come natural. And it came natural with Nicholas and Computer Lady. We already talking about another album. That's how natural it is. We ain't even got this one out there as much as we want, and we already talking about another album.
Yeah, and I just want to add, it really was an easy and natural process with Spoon. I mean, it just, there was no overthinking it, and everything just came together very easily. And to me, I feel like there's this kind of myth that good art has to be toiled over, and I don't really believe that that is true. I think it can be true, but this just came together very easily, and Spoon and I just clicked.
Yeah,
I'm real happy with the way things have turned out.
And I would add that real art, no matter what form it is, come from being personal, from sharing personal experiences from that artist, from that niche, from that talent they got. And that allows other people to step into the art. And that's the beauty and just being the artist you are. And if both people are being themselves, there's magic created. There's just no other way around it. It is universal, it's personal, and you look at all the great writers and actors and stuff, and what they put into their art, it's personal. It's not nothing abstract. You're not trying to be misunderstood like politicians. I mean, they tell you stuff about stuff that don't even make any sense. They want to be abstract. They don't want to be understood. They don't want you to understand anything. But when you're an artist, you want to be personal and allow people to step into the art the way they need to. That comes natural, I think.
There it is.
Yeah, well, Spoon, how did you get involved with art and poetry in the first place? What's the whole story there?
You can get the whole story in By Heart, the book I wrote with my mentor who passed on, Judith Teitelbaum, in the book Judith, the Book of Judith. But I could tell you the story, though, a little bit of it right now. When I came to jail, I flunked out of English. I flunked everything when I was out there on the streets. I was a rogue. I didn't care about, you know, much of anything. Didn't know, I didn't have any awareness that I needed to care about anything. I thought it was dog eat dog. And then that tragedy happened that put me in prison. Something clicked inside me, and I said, he just, because the prison was for me, and jail was just so unnatural. You know, I came from the desert, from the mountains, and from the land where animals and the sky was seemed free, and then freed your spirit. So when I got in here, something told me, man, you got to do something because you messed up bad, the ultimate mess up. And so something just clicked, and I started studying all the ologies. And then when I got to getting the philosophy and stuff like that, somebody gave me a book with all kinds of wise sayings in it by poets, philosophers, religious people, and just ordinary individuals, just a book that became my Bible. So studying that book and studying theology, I kept hearing something about poetry. Because the great poets like Homer and Blake and Langston and all kinds of, and Maya Angelou. So I signed up for a poetry class, and I thought it was just for weirdos and women and stuff like that. I was greatly mistaken. I think it takes more power to be a poet in prison than to be a gangster. It takes more heart. But anyway, I signed up for the poetry class. I signed up for two of them. One was taught by Judith Teitelbaum, and the other was taught by a dude named Floyd, who assassinated people's words even before they knew that they could write poetry. He would discourage them. Whereas Judith, you know, I was kind of off the chart a little bit. I'd come into a class and sit down with dark shades on, heavy coat on, boots and stuff, and put chairs around me and make sure everybody stayed the hell away from me. And Judith was a little Jewish woman. She, let me sit in that class for about a year and soak up anything I needed to soak up in it in order to find out that I was a poet, because she didn't know it and I didn't know it either. And other facilitators at San Quentin that came in to teach art would say, why you got that nut in your class, you know? You know, you should kick him out. He's weird. And I would go out in the hall and sit right outside the classroom, but I would listen every time because he'd bring in some extraordinary guests. And the prisoners in the writing classes, I mean, they wasn't like they were on the yard. They was in there doing something that was real, and it just blew my heart and mind open. I said, man, this is cool. And so I started writing down stuff, but I never shared it with anybody until about a year later when Judith got okay to do individual consultations, and the first person she wanted to talk to was me. So we went down in the San Quentin basement education classroom, and as we was going down, she asked where I was from. I said, I'm from Barstow, California, the heart of the high desert. And I told her a little bit about the desert, and as soon as we sat down at the table, she wrote all that stuff down, and it was a poem. I said, wait a minute, the heart of the high desert. I said, the only place I'd been that they brought me here. I stood on Cook Street and looked at the purple and red clay mountains that surrounded me. They appeared to be the whole world. How naive was I? I was 19, no, 20 when I got busted. That same day I had signed up for the Marines. I wanted to see the world. They put me in a cell to myself on the corner. I couldn't see, but I heard the sounds of those football games I had gone through my whole life in that town. And that came out as I was telling it to her, and she wrote it down. And then one day I'm sitting in the cell at San Quentin, and I said, I'm going to let go and just try to write me a Christmas poem. It was a Christmas time. And I jotted down, I wrote down, I thought it was a Christmas song, and No Beauty in Cell Bars came out just like it is. And I showed it to Judith, and then she showed it to other people. That's when they started calling me the poet.
And where are you from originally?
Barstow, in the heart of the high desert, the Mojave Desert, down in Southern California.
Okay, so I think all three of us are on the West Coast. I'm up in Portland, and Nicholas, you're...
I'm in Pasadena.
Pasadena, oh, okay. And how did you get involved with producing in general? When did you start?
My dad is a blues pianist, and there were just always keyboards and things around the house, a couple stringed instruments, and my earliest memory is of my mom speeding away from our house. She was crying, and I was in the passenger seat, and she told me, don't ever become a musician or your wife will hate you. And so I stayed away from music for a long time, but in my late teens, some friends were starting a band, and so I joined in, and it just came really naturally to me. And I kind of kept it secret for a while that I like, this is what speaks to me and this is what I want to do. And spent my 20s in bands trying to make it, and then eventually moved out to the West Coast in my late 20s, early 30s, and got my foot in the door doing composition for all sorts of visual content. And I've just been exploring that realm ever since. I make music for TV and film, and I make more experimental stuff on my own. This definitely kind of falls into that category.
And with all the things that you've produced, which, you know, it sounds like we probably don't have time to talk about the myriad of projects you've been involved with for many years. This project, how does something like this work when we have people who are inside, we have people who are outside, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on there. One thing is just the basic communication, right? You know, and how do we get in touch with people or not, or and stay in touch? And the other piece is, how does a project work when it comes to recording and producing and all these other logistics that you have to pull together as a producer to make it happen? And then, of course, the talent, you know, has very specific needs and things that need to happen in order for these projects to be successful. Tell us about what that whole thing looks like.
As you can tell right now, Spoon is calling back.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
And this is how...
You will not be charged for this call. To accept this call, say or dial 5 now. Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
So for those of you listening, you can probably tell that there's a bit of a difference in sound quality between my voice, Adam's voice, and Spoon's voice. Spoon is talking through a prison phone right now. And this is how we recorded the entire thing. I have an app on my phone where you can record phone calls. It's essentially like it calls out to an outside recording device, records it, and then emails that back to you. And so Spoon and I would just have a phone conversation. I would hit record at the beginning of it. But the phone calls, what do they last, like 15 minutes, 10 minutes? Or is it different sometimes? 14 minutes.
No sense of time, the computer lady. She has no sense of time.
She feels like she has no sense of time. Seems really random sometimes. But we would just for about 10 minutes. And at the end of the phone conversation, I'd be like, do you have a poem you want to read? Or I have all of Spoon's books. Spoon is a published poet and writer. And, you know, I would be like, hey, I read this poem the other day, No Moon, which is from his book. And how do you feel about reading that today? And he would say, all right, hold on 1 second. And he would run and grab his book and then recite it from there. And I would just record it. And then I would build up music around it in my computer. And that's how the whole thing worked. It was just him naturally reciting the poem and me amplifying what it was that he is saying, at least my interpretation of what it is in a musical sense.
Well, you gave a great introduction there, segue to The Computer Lady, and we're also talking about the track Computer Lady. We're going to hear that. We'll be back after we hear Computer Lady.
If you have anything to do with prison, you know. Computer woman wants to be treated like a lady, but her voice is so cold, rude, and shady. She will cut you off in the middle of grieving, in the middle of loving, in the middle of leaving.
This call
will be monitored and recorded. GPL, your computer daddy, can go straight to hell. Unfeeling, uncaring, no human in your voice. 60 seconds is your choice. Computer woman wants to be treated like a lady, but her voice is so cold, rude, and shady.
This call will be monitored and recorded.
Texas.
Invading conversations like weeds to a flower party.
And recorded.
You have no real concept of time. How flexible it could be. It's a figment of the imagination that cannot be bought or sold. Nothing more important to the computer lady than to tell you have 60 seconds to go. She will cut you off in the middle of grieving, in the middle of loving, in the middle of leaving.
This call will be monitored and recorded.
Computer lady and your daddy GPL can go straight to hell, evading conversations like weeds to a flower party. So get ready, because the computer lady is quite rude, distant, and shady. Your daddy, GTL, can go straight to hell.
All right, great track. We're here with Spoon Jackson poet and producer, Mr. Schneider. Can you tell us more about these tracks? And we also have another one that we're going to check out too. So if you want to tell us about that other one as well.
Oh, Computer Lady. Well, anybody, millions of people are in America, unfortunately, are connected to prisons and jails. And they got a Computer Lady there. And therefore, you know, they interrupt you. You could be talking to a loved one, something critical going on, or you're talking to a lawyer, or you're talking just meeting somebody. It will interrupt you and disrupt your thoughts. And so after years of going through this and being an artist, I decided finally to write something about Computer Lady. And I wrote it down, and it just came out like it did. And then I shared with people, and I shared it with Nicholas, and he found humor in it. They find humor in it in Germany and in Australia right now. I mean, Computer Lady is translating from English into English in countries that first language is not English, but they love it and laughing and thinking it's funny, you know, because if I call in Norway and Sweden, the phone calls are free over there too. And Reiner, a filmmaking friend who did the movie Barstool about me where I grew up, he can't stop laughing. Every time he hears a Computer Lady come on the phone, we talk, he just gets to laughing, you know, his first language is German. So Computer Lady just naturally had to come out because it's showing the agony of being in prison trying to communicate, like this environment I'm in right now. They got a bunch of people making a bunch of noise, just hollering and yelling and doing all kinds of stuff in this overcrowded dorm. And so Computer Lady would come in, and that's another thing that, you know, trying to agitate you and get you off your realness. But, you know, Computer Lady just needed to be out there and needed to be made fun of, and at the same time, know that it got some seriousness to it, because you might be talking to a loved one. It might be the last conversation you have with your mom or somebody, you know, and so, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me like the intent is that you never forget that you're talking to someone in prison, you know? The intent of this woman interrupting your conversation is that so you don't forget where this person is at.
Yeah.
Sounds like Computer Lady is very rude and that she's always misbehaving. So you guys have a bunch of other tracks on this project, and we want to hear that title track. But before we do that, yeah, can you tell us where people can find it, where they can check it out, release dates, etc.?
The album is out. The album's called No Moon. It's on all major streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music. It's out on Freer Records. You can find it all over the place. So all you got to do is look up Spoon Jackson, No Moon.
And you can find it on my websites, too. You can find it on Nicholas' website. You can find it. We got links everywhere. We're trying to link it. And like I said, we wanted to get out there because it's sort of like a protest poem, too, to the unfeeling of a machine to tell a human being that you cannot talk to a loved one but for this time, and assume that the human beings don't understand that their time is limited and need to be notified that the person you're talking to is in prison, which is, you know, just a way to interrupt, you know, just a way to interrupt, you know, not needed, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we thought there was some sci-fi dystopia there, it's like we're hearing it in the 21st century already, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, it feels that way.
All right. Well, let's hear No Moon, and we'll be back in a sec.
way the night looks with no moon. The way the wind whistles off the back porch with no moon. You want to love me? How can I tell you I have a life, but I don't have a life? What can I tell you? Should I tell you about the bar that don't speak? Or the razor wire that longs to sever the throat? Or the cold winds that bounce off the emptiness? Shall I tell you about the trees 200 yards away, across the river of electric wires, how the trees haunt me like the smell of barbecue? Like the scent of mountain metal, like the sight of crimson painted toes, across the river, across the hills, there is wine that belongs to no one. What can I tell you? Should I tell you about all the lovely women I never had? Should I tell you about the moon fading away like a piece of tomorrow? Wow. Yeah. I was afraid this would happen the way the night feels with no moon. The way the wind whistles off the back porch, pushing on the screen door like 10 cats, like 10 madmen fighting. Like 10 madmen fighting.
All right, that was No Moon with Spoon Jackson poet and producer Nicholas Schneider. Guys, tell us about No Moon. What's that all about? What was the title about? And you used it as the title track, so it must be very important.
No Moon. There is a moon, but No Moon is referring to, because I've been married a couple of times. I meet women, and sometimes there's love there. And No Moon came about because of Ava, a Swedish woman that I was involved with. She wanted it to be, I didn't want to hurt, have women be hurt anymore because of the non-physicality we were able to have in prison. And so I was telling Ava that, you know, I cannot tell you I have a life, but I don't have a life. What can I tell you? Can I tell you about the bars that don't speak, or the razor wire that longs to sever the throat, or the cold winds that bounce off the emptiness? You want to love me, but that's what the walls that they put up, and I didn't want the women in my life to be hurt. So then I try to strive for great friendships, you know, because I was married. My last wife, she passed away. We never consummated my marriage. That was really sad. So No Moon came about because of a bunch of relationships I had, and I decided that, you know, it's not good. Well, it's not. I got to figure out some way to let them down easy, but still be friends, still love each other. That's what No Moon is about for me.
And what do you guys have planned next? It sounds like you guys got a lot going on. What's on the horizons?
Okay, we're working on Rabbits for Realness. It's something that started with Sarah Bartorio as co-founder, and Mariah Schwartz is the project manager. And it's an advisory type of website where we are going to put out art, and where we that little zines that come out, and we're going to advise people, help them with their poetry and songs, and help them with titles and covers for books or records and stuff like that. And I got in the rabbit hole, Nichols in the rabbit hole. I've got filmmakers in there. I got artists in the rabbit hole. And what we want to do, we got letterpress people too, like John Vincent. And what we want to do is help the poor and the young and the elderly who can't, you know, no got any funds, but at the same time have some funds come in to keep the project going. But it's about realness. And if you could check out the Rabbits of Realness Instagram, you'll see one-liners about your inner rabbit. Basically, it's just something that we're doing to put art out there, because art needs to be out there. We're going to be doing a thing called Keeping Letter Writing Alive, because the art of letter writing is dying quick. And I want to have a section in there ran by me that I will be writing letters to people. And also, there's a section in there where we're going to be doing writing workshops. So I do those already with colleges and places over there in Sweden and Norway. And I just want to, Rabbits of Realness is a place where you could go and express your realness, where you could go enhance your art, where you could go become a part of something that is loving, and try to change the narrative of all this negative, hateful stuff going around, the homophobia, race hatred, and stuff that's going around the world. We're just going to counter it with Rabbits of Realness. That is one of our goals.
And Spoon and I are already talking about making another album. Probably start on that sometime this summer.
Tell us again what the links are, you know, where people can check all this stuff out.
Once again, the album is called No Moon by Spoon Jackson. It's on all major platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. You can check out spoonjackson.org. Yeah. We're both on Instagram. Yeah.
Go to Sarah Bartorio at Rabbits of Realness, too. You can go type up Rabbits of Realness on Instagram, and it'll all pop up. We got Ani DeFranco did a line for Rabbits of Realness. Everybody I meet, I had him get a line when it was the year of the rabbit last year. Now it's the year of the dragon. Dragon got something to do with rabbits, so we're going to eventually do the year, do some kind of one-liners for the dragon rabbit. I know that sounds crazy, but hey, when you check it out, the scenes are fabulous. You see what I'm talking about.
Spoon's poetry book is called Longer Ago, and I highly recommend it.
Well, great. Well, thanks, fellas. Looking forward to following up with you guys soon. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Special thanks to our amazing guest today and Prison Pipeline Collective member Karen James for post-production. Free them all.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
The month of June is